Hey everyone, welcome back to PS I'm Single. It's your girl Trish. Today's episode is Dating After Divorce, Untying the Knot. So we're going to talk about some of Tommy's dating experiences after divorce and what his marriage was like while he was still married. Say hi, Tommy.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, you got your Barry White on?
You know it.
All right, so Tommy, how long were you married?
I was married for legally 20 years, but I would say about 10.
Half of it?
Half of it.
Why?
You know, people grow apart. You know, who you thought you were going to marry in the beginning, sometimes it does not work out that way. Sometimes you realize early on that the person who you've married is someone you really don't even know.
So it took you 10 years to realize that?
No, but during the first part of it, you have a child.
Right.
And I did not want to leave my child. I was not going to leave my child. So you stick in a little bit longer.
Okay.
For the purpose of the child. That's what I wanted to do anyway.
Okay. So how long were you happy in your 20-year marriage?
I would say maybe the first 7.
Damn. Not even half? So you guys were married. How long did you date before getting married, first of all? Let's start from the beginning.
Dated for about a year and a half, broke up for 2 years, and then got back together, and within a year got married.
That was quick. So
I was reaching 30, and I thought it was time for me to get married. This may be one of the reasons why it did not work out. I got married more for the reason of thinking it was time to get married,
right,
as opposed to being so much in love that was the next step.
So it was more like you didn't really want to get married?
No, it wasn't that I didn't want to get married, but I didn't do it out of the place of love where I think you should do it. I did it out of a place of I'm getting close to 30 and I need to really change my life and start becoming more serious about life and not just partying and going to clubs and hanging around.
So you was on the timeline, pretty much.
I guess I was.
I think a lot of women do it to themselves, especially at the age of 30. I've done it to myself, but I didn't find anyone to trap yet. So I'm still single.
But you got to keep looking.
Right. I'm still looking. But so you were dated for a year and a half.
Right.
You broke up for 2 years.
Yes.
You got back together. In less than a year, you got married because you just felt like maybe the pressure of the age.
It was the pressure of the age. And that was part of the getting back together was that, okay, we're going to get back together, but we're going to get back together because we're going to go to the next level.
Right. Okay, so how long after being married did you have your daughter?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years after being married, she was born.
She was born.
So she was conceived, I would say, 12 months after being married.
All right. So, and then 5 years after that, the happiness was gone. Well, maybe not the happiness. I don't want to say you were unhappy in your marriage.
Right, but as you start to see signs that you're not on the same path.
Right.
You start to see signs that, you know, I'm doing it out of obligation instead of because I want to.
Right.
Those type of things start to creep in.
Because you feel like it's a responsibility.
Right.
Like you made this commitment, now you got to stick it out.
Right.
So,
and I'm commitment oriented. I've been the head of my household since I was 13 years old. So I do what I have to do.
Right. That's how you were raised.
That's how I was raised.
Okay. So what made you finally decide to end it? After the 7 years, did she know you weren't happy?
I wouldn't say I'm the best communicator in the world of that. I would have picked up on the energy that I was giving off that I was unhappy.
You was walking around slamming doors and shit.
Not slamming doors, but there was no doing things together.
There was no connection.
I did my thing. She did her thing.
So
and together
it was mutual.
We took care of the world.
It was mutual.
I think so.
Yeah. So you guys came together for your daughter, though.
Yes.
Okay. So you pretty much stuck, because we've had a conversation about this before. So you stayed around for your daughter. You didn't want her to be
fatherless.
Right, and sort
swinging
of like
on the pole.
Okay. All right, so that don't mean you're going to be swinging on, because I have yet to touch a pole.
I'm sorry, I used that, and I shouldn't have used that analogy, but I did fear that my daughter not having a father in the house could create some issues. Not necessarily swinging on the pole issues, but issues in general.
Okay. So when did you finally decide to end it? I mean, after the 7 years, you was doing your own thing? She was doing her own thing?
I don't know what she was doing, but it didn't matter to me what she was doing because there was nothing left. There was nothing left for me. So although I was going to be inside the house and be a father, I don't think I was much of a father and provider.
Right.
But I don't think I was really much of a husband.
Okay.
Or I wasn't looking there for my...
You can say it. You ain't got the sugarcoated. You can say it.
I was not looking there for my compassion or care or anything.
So there was no partnership.
There was no partnership. I felt I was doing way more than I should.
Right.
I didn't sign up to be a mother and a father. But
a lot of mothers are out there that you know play the role of both.
I'm sure there are. But there's a lot of men out there who play the role of both as well.
True. They're not recognized.
Not at all.
They don't get a lot of recognition.
Not at all. I got the birth control pills when she got 16 years old.
Oh. How you know she want people to know she was on birth control?
Well.
Tommy.
You wanted me to be candid and be open. I'm trying to be as candid and open as I can.
I get what you're saying. All right. So... how long have you been dating now?
Oh, wow. Legally, I probably shouldn't say this over
legally?
The years.
Wait a minute.
I would say 10 years. I'd say it's been 10 years of dating.
10 years.
10 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why has it been so long? You ain't find the right person yet? Or are you looking to be married again?
I'm not sure because after the trauma... of being in a relationship for a long time.
Trauma?
Trauma is the word I must use. And not being happy for so long. You can go out and find somebody else and go out and hang out and do all these other things that'll make you happy. But when you're still in the same environment with a person,
right.
This is still an element of unhappiness, for lack of a better word.
But you said trauma. Was that the longest relationship you've been in? You got to think about that one.
Yes.
It was the longest relationship.
Yes, legal one anyway.
See, now you keep saying legal and illegal.
Because legal is what you're in when you're in marriage. It's a legal contract. That's what you're in. It's not a relationship. You're not just seeing someone. You're legally bound to them.
Wow. So do you have like a negative connotation of marriage now that you've been traumatized?
I don't say I have a negative connotation of marriage because my parents were very happily married. But... I'm not quick to jump back into that pool again.
So for the past 10 years, you just been chilling?
Yeah, chilling, dating, whatever you want to call it.
You like to call it a tune-up. Is it a tune-up? What is it that you like? You refer to it as something. What do you...
Well, every now and then, you know, everybody has their responsibilities in life. We're all adults. We have... I'm a parent. I pay a mortgage. I work.
Right.
You know, I have a career. And sometimes you need... you know, other stimulants to get you through all the other things that you have to do.
Okay.
So we're going to call it a tune-up or some companionship.
Okay.
Something like that.
But you haven't had anything like...
nothing that made me
want to
say,
down.
Yeah, you should be the next batter up. You should be the next one.
But if you find that, are you willing to do that? Or are you avoiding that because of what's happened?
I believe, because I'm not sure. I'm being
right.
honest.
Right.
I believe that if I found a woman who I thought was close enough, let me change that, that I thought was a good enough friend. I need a friend.
You got to be friends first.
You need a friend.
That's the foundation of everything.
Because friends you hang out with.
Right.
And when you're married, you're locked into this union. But if you're locked in that union and you ain't friends, it doesn't work well.
It's going to suck.
It's a pen in the ass, if I may say that.
Yes, you can.
Yes, pen in the ass. If you can't really enjoy that time that you're spending with somebody, you're there because you have to be there.
Right.
You know, that's the difference.
Do you think she felt pressure to be married because of the age?
Yes.
She did too?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so I know you kind of sort of have a situation where you still live in the household.
Yes.
With said traumatizing relationship E.
Yes.
Okay. Is it easy for you to find dates?
Yes, it is? It's easy to find dates. What's not easy is the explanation of what my living situation is.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how do women react when you tell them I'm still living with...
Right. After such a long time of unhappiness,
correct.
I get a side eye, but I explain to them right away that this is a financial thing at this point. It's a financial issue, and you have to play that part out.
Correct.
Before you can just bounce. You don't want to leave your money on the table. I'm not leaving my money on the table. I've worked very hard for that money.
Right.
So I can't just walk away from it and put it in someone else's hands.
Right.
Very hard to explain this to women. Some don't care.
Okay. Really?
Some don't care.
Really?
Totally. Some give you the side eye. Some will be able to handle it for a few months, and then they'll be like, you know what? I really can't handle this. I can't handle it.
Because you know what I'm thinking? Mm. I'm the female that's going to give you the side eye.
Yeah.
You know why? Because as adults, right, I kind of feel like if you have your own place, right?
Right.
We got to switch it up sometimes. Like, you can't always be at my house. So let's go chill at your house. But we can't really chill at your house because...
Right. There's issues there.
Right.
Right. It's a problem. It's a huge problem.
So for me, right off the bat, when you explain that to me, right, I'll probably just walk away.
Many have.
But like the women who stick, they don't have an issue with it. They just...
Because they, first of all...
They may not be looking for...
And that's fine too.
Okay.
They need a tune-up, I need a tune-up, but everybody's happy,
right.
You know.
Get a little oil change.
Yeah, get a little oil change, you know, everybody's happy. Rotate your tires, whatever you need. But then some try to, but this is what I've seen in relationships with most women. They want to, first they slide you in, they want you to meet their friends. After you've met their friends.
How long after? Set up the scenario for me, because I want to know what other people do. So you meet this woman.
You meet a woman and say you've had 4 or 5 dates.
Where you met her?
I meet him in business. I meet him at events. I meet him through friends. I meet him at barbecues.
Okay.
I'm a very social person, so I meet women in an assortment of places because my job is very social.
Right, right. It is. So you meet her. You go out on a few dates,
3 or 4 dates. And if things are going well,
right,
they're going to want you to meet their best friend. It happens all the time with women. The first person they want you to meet is their best friend. Generally the best friend.
So you meet the best friend. What happened? You got to explain the situation to the best friend?
No, because they've already, I know, you know, they've already explained
right
the situation. But how much did they explain?
Exactly.
So now your answer, as you're talking, you're kind of being a little bit protective because you don't want to give out more information than necessary.
Right.
If it continues, the next thing you may wind up at, you know, their mama house or somebody, you know,
you
someplace.
You meeting parents?
I've met parents, you know, Uncle Bob, everybody.
Recently?
Yes. Yes. Now you're in a whole, now this is where it gets tricky, especially for the woman. They want you all in their world.
Right.
But then it puts them in a position to have to tell half-truths.
Right, because you want to explain to people, because your friends and family, they're nosy. Everyone's friends and family are nosy. Soon as you bring someone around that they've never seen before, they want to know the full rundown of this person's life.
Yes.
So now, am I going to tell you the whole truth, or am I going to tell you the half-truth?
In many cases, what I've seen is women tell their families the half-truth. They may tell their girlfriend the whole truth.
Right.
Or their friends the whole truth.
Right.
But they will tell their family and half-truth. And then after a while, if you continue seeing this person, it gets more complicated because now you're in this vortex. Who wants to tell their family lies? I don't want to tell my family lies.
Me either.
Love my family. I have a daughter. I'm not going to tell my daughter lies.
Right.
You know, so I would think most people are like that and wouldn't want to tell half truths to Nana.
Right.
You know, but it's something that I've had to deal with for quite some time. Some women can take it for longer periods of time than others. After a while, it's just like the clock runs out. They don't have any more time to give me.
Right, because it's sort of like they're waiting.
They're waiting.
They're waiting for your situation to completely be over. They're waiting for you to tie up them loose.
Tie up the loose ends.
Yeah.
Thinking that it's going to be an all-encompassing relationship that could lead to marriage.
Right.
Could not.
What are you telling them?
I promise nothing. I always say, I don't know what this is going to lead to. I'm enjoying spending time with you. Hopefully you're enjoying spending time with me as well. So as long as you want to do this, I'm good.
Okay.
If it gets too much for you, I understand. That's my standard answer every time. If it gets too much for you, I understand.
So you let them know in the beginning.
Yes, because I don't want to come out and have my windshield broken or my tires slashed.
Okay, so first of all, there will be no windshield, and the tires will be gone. Your car will be sitting on cinder blocks.
I can't have you messing the ride. So
I'm just saying that's me. That's right. Just me.
I know.
That's just me.
You want to keep things as honest as possible. So nobody wants to be lied to. Let's
right.
call it what it is. Nobody wants to be lied to. You don't want anybody knocking on your door or
showing up
at your job.
First of all.
You don't want that. So you should be honest with people.
I feel like a lot of men, they don't tell women the truth up front. Give us the option to say yes or no to whatever your situation is.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're going to be open with me, don't wait until 6 months later. Then you want to explain everything to me. Explain everything to me in the beginning so I can make that decision for myself.
I agree, but I'm a more mature man, so I've been through this enough times to know that if you don't want repercussions or a lot of drama,
right,
which I don't like drama at all, let them know up front where you stand.
Because she's going to show up to that house.
And showing up to my house is not a big deal. All parties involved know where I stand.
Okay.
All parties involved. No one should be surprised. I don't have people coming in and out of my house as a sign of respect.
Okay. So you don't take them to the house?
No.
At all?
No.
Okay.
Well, you got no business here.
Okay.
Really have no. At this point, you really have no business. Can you come?
What if you met their family?
Huh?
What if you met their family? They never been to your house?
No.
Really?
No.
She introduced you to her best friend. Y'all done been on like 8 dates. She introduced you to her best friend.
Yes.
She introduced you to her nana or whoever else, her family.
Yes.
She's still never been to your house.
No.
You're not going to meet my family until I've been to your house. That's just me.
I understand that and I can appreciate that. And it has caused some can deal with it.
Right.
Some cannot.
Because if you tell me your situation up front, and I am willing to...
Can I say one thing on that?
Yeah.
Let me say one thing on that. If I met the right woman who I thought really... there was an opportunity for a real long distance, I probably would not have them have a problem with their coming to my house. I don't think I'm going to be up in there sleeping in there and spending the weekend there because it's too awkward.
That's just awkward.
Right.
But
come
I
to
mean,
my house, I got to go someplace and I got to go by my house and feed my dog or I got to go and pick up my guitar. I got to do something different.
Right.
Yeah, there's no problem because the other person that's there, they have all they have is paper.
Okay.
All they have is paper.
Right.
And the paper is okay. But the paper does not define me. The paper is a legal right that means you must get XYZ.
Correct.
Beyond that,
there's no connection.
Nothing.
Right.
There's nothing.
Right.
Zero, no contact, no sleeping in the same bed, no sleeping in the same room, barely even talking.
Really?
Maybe a grunt every now and then or a brother nod. Sup? I'll give you that.
For real?
For real, for real.
Like, no, hey, how was your day?
Who cares?
Oh, shit. Wait.
How was your day? Who cares how your day was?
No conversation. How awkward is that for you?
It's not awkward. You know, it's not awkward at all. When you shut down those feelings, the feelings are shut down.
So it's like it's like a roommate. You live upstairs, I live downstairs. Mind your business. Stay away from me.
If it's about my daughter, you can tell me. If it's about this house, you can tell me.
Anything else?
I'm not concerned.
You don't care?
No.
Damn.
Truth. Fact. It's cold, but it's what it is.
I mean, it's a real cold world.
If I can say, can I say any word I want to say?
Yes, you can.
When you fuck it up, it's fucked up.
That's it.
I can't help you now.
Damn. It's a little rough.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
So okay, so how is the dating world today compared to the dating world pre-marriage?
Right. Women have changed a lot.
Right?
Women have come out of their shell quite a bit. They are much more aggressive.
Yes.
Much more opinionated. Much more sexually open.
I feel like
adventurous.
Women have always been that way.
Right.
But there's... Now we are more comfortable expressing it and letting other people see it.
Right.
Because it's not as shunned upon as right. it was in the past.
Right. Now, again, being a more mature man, I always was a little bit more turned on by the fact that this woman who was very dignified and might have a job as a vice president of a bank or a company. With her business suit on and watching her there and watching her engage in her business,
right.
knowing that the only person in the room that knows how much of a freak she is me. I was quite turned on by that.
Lady in the streets, freak in the streets.
Oh, baby.
Well, there still are women who are like that.
I like that.
That's the kind of woman you're looking for.
Yes. I don't need women to be men. I don't need women to act like men.
Okay, so here's the thing,
okay,
though, thing? Right?
Please tell me the thing.
There is a saying that women have become the men they've always wanted.
Right.
Because we've been alone so long.
I agree.
That we actually developed the characteristics that we've been looking for in men that we couldn't find.
I agree 1,000. Now what happens now, if you're not dealing with strong men,
right,
then men may not be able to handle that.
That's true.
You know, myself, I don't mind a woman being strong. I don't mind her being powerful. She can make more money than me. I'm okay with all of that.
Okay.
But I like a lady. I don't like no,
right.
I don't like no, I don't, what would be the word? What's the word I can use? Help me here.
A hood rat.
A what?
A hood rat.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, so I don't mind a hood rat. Oh. So, I don't mind a hood. But I need you to be self-respect is something that I like in women.
Okay.
So I like to see a woman of strengthened, strong and dignified. Michelle Obama, strong and dignified.
Right.
Okay. And there was a sexy element to Michelle Obama too.
It is. She flies.
She flies can be.
Yeah.
But she's still strong and dignified.
Right.
I think there's an area of women. That some of that dignity and self-respect
right.
is gone.
Okay.
And that bothers me a little bit. And that in my dating, and when I meet women like that who are so much like men, it could be a turnoff at times. It doesn't make me feel any
emasculated.
Now,
when you say she's like a man, explain.
Okay.
Give me an example. It's had to happen to you before
yeah,
for you to
yeah.
say
I'm
it.
I'm trying to give you an example that would paint the right picture. I need you to be respectful and dress respectfully.
Okay.
Talk respectfully.
Okay. Because you say you don't like women who curse too much.
Not too much. You know, words come out every now and then, but if right. it's every other word.
Then no.
Because I can't take you around some of my people.
Right. Okay. Especially you got a work function.
I can't take you there.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I can't take you. If I can't take you to, first of all, if I can't take you to a work function, you just a jump off.
Ooh. Okay.
That's it. If I can't, because first of all, if I can't take you to a work function, you certainly won't get to see meet my family.
You can't meet the people I pretend to like during the daytime.
Right.
You ain't going to meet the people I really like.
No. But, you know, we can hang, you know.
Right. Yeah. Let me tell you, there's a spot in everyone's life for a little bit of something.
It's okay.
Everyone serves a purpose.
Everybody serves a purpose.
So it's like, yeah, you may not be the person who's going to come to my house or be around my friends and family, but you could be the person that we can just have alone time. And that's it.
We just have alone time. And when we go out together, we have a bunch of shots and get drunk.
We
cool.
might not even go out. What if I want to be seen with you in person?
Dang.
Right?
That's rough.
Yeah,
if I don't want to be seen with you at all, even at a restaurant, then we probably ain't going to have too much going on.
Damn.
I might have been a one-nighter.
Oh, well.
I That might have been a one-nighter.
Well, so you're saying, is it easier for you to date now, or was it easier for you to date pre-marriage?
Oh, definitely pre-marriage, because I didn't have any baggage. I didn't have any baggage. The only baggage I had pre-marriage was I was a musician, and my mistress, well, that was another issue. I didn't have any money, and my mistress was the music. I always wanted to go and do that.
Right.
And that gets old, too, to women, if you're never available.
Let me tell you something. Mm. If you can't make yourself available to me, it's like, don't even get me started. Mm. Because if it's only convenient for you, then... No.
Nobody wants to see you show up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. All the time.
Yeah.
For what? Then you serving a purpose. I don't want to be seen with you during the daytime because I'm busy doing something else during the daytime.
Yeah. But again, I was a much younger man then. Okay. And I was not as evolved as I am now to a much more mature person who will even understand somebody else's feelings. Now I can understand somebody else's feelings or how it presents itself, even in my situation now, how that affects the other person.
Right.
You know, so I'm much more conscious of it. Yeah. When I was a younger man, I was not conscious of it.
You don't care.
No. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Not caring. It's just you're really not conscious. You're not broad enough to understand that other people have feelings too.
Right.
And if you really want this person to be in your life, you got to show them that.
Yeah.
You can't just say, "Yeah, I'm cool. We could be good. Everything's fine. I ain't seen you in 3 weeks, but everything's good. We good. I'm not messing around, and I'm not." You're not messing around, but you're so focused on what you're focused on that you.
But damn, but who are you talking to?
When you have something that you do all the time. I don't want to compare myself to an Olympic athlete, but somebody who has something that they really are into, 3 weeks can go by really quickly. And if you miss a couple of dates here or there, 3 weeks can go by and you don't even see each other.
3 weeks?
3 weeks.
First of all, if I don't hear from you in 3 days, there's an issue.
I didn't say there would be any phone conversation. But it's a lot of, let me call you back.
Let me call you back.
If the mic is hot, I got to call you back.
Damn. But you're not doing that now.
I don't do that now, no.
Because now...
I work and I enjoy myself now.
Have you done the online dating thing?
I have not yet.
No, not
yet? I have
yet.
Considered it, though.
Me too.
I have considered it.
I've tried it, but then I deleted it. Right? I tried it, I deleted it, and now I'm being forced to try it again. So I'm going to try it again because I'm not having any luck anywhere else.
I don't know if you can get the... When I look at a woman, there's certain things about her that it's going to appeal to me. It could be her complexion.
Right.
It could be the shape of her legs.
Okay.
It could be her butt. It could be her this. It could be her hair. It could be her eyes. But it's not one thing. It could be just the way she talks. It could be the way she giggles. It could be... A lot of different things, but it has to be something. I don't think you can see any of that when I'm looking at the picture.
I mean, you're looking at the picture.
Yeah.
You communicate, send messages back and forth.
Yeah.
Then you exchange phone numbers. You may speak. I don't know proper dating etiquette. This is just me either. In my head. And after you communicate a few times over the phone, I don't know how long you got to communicate. I guess until you feel comfortable enough with this person, you meet in a public place and see where things go from there.
Right.
My issue with that is I don't like to waste my time or the time of others.
Right.
So me spending all those days that might equal weeks of messaging you, calling you, texting, we meet in person and you're just not like your pictures or what I really expected, or the vibe is off.
I agree with everything you're saying, but I think the thing with online dating, I think you have to give it a chance, because what happens, you see this initial person and in your mind you thought it was going to be a red car, and you get there and the car is yellow, so already you're thrown off.
Right.
You haven't even really dug in to see who this person was yet. You're like, I'm not feeling this.
Right.
But if you get, sometimes, you know, because it's not all about looks,
it's not
much deeper.
It's definitely
than looks.
Not right.
Sometimes this person may have a certain energy that you just like.
Right.
It might be something about them that you just like. You like their attitude. You like their spirituality. You like something about them that really moves you.
Right.
So I don't think you can get all of that in one meeting.
You can't. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather that first meeting already be in person as opposed to being online than you're spending days equaling weeks.
Right. Because you're in texting, you're searching for the right answer. You got time to write it.
You're interpreting it the way you want to.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm going to try it again, though.
I think she's tried. You never know. And give their brothers a chance.
So I'm going to try it. And I told my producer this. If I do decide to meet someone in person, I need you and my producer sitting at the other table acting like y'all know me.
Well, what are we going to do? You think you're scared of him?
Yeah, anything can happen. You just never know. It's a cold world out here. I'm just saying.
Don't go to nobody's apartment. That's the first thing. There will be
hell no.
The first 3 dates cannot be at anyone's apartment.
First of all, the first 5 dates, you're still not going to know where I live. That's just me. I'm not going to drive straight home. I might drive by your house, pull into your garage, and make it seem like I'm going to get out the car. No, your house. Make it seem like I'm going to get out the car. And when he pull off, because people follow people.
You have to err on safety. You're a young woman in a big city. You have to err on safety.
I might circle the block a couple times, pull up to my producer house, act like I'm getting out to go there, but I'm really not. And then drive back to where I really live.
Yes. You have to err on safety. You definitely have to err on safety. You know, but it's very hard because people are different.
Yes.
And people have very different expectations. Go ahead.
People are crazy.
Yes.
When you say different, you mean crazy. Or when you say different, I'm interpreting it as crazy.
Some of it is crazy. I'm very pro-black.
Okay.
And I've met some people who I was a little, black people, who I was too pro-black for. Because they didn't want to mix it up.
Right.
All the time. And sometimes I can get on my soapbox.
Okay.
And it's coming out. I can't help myself. It's just who I am. And it can be too much because they don't want to deal with all of that sometimes.
Correct.
And I'm not saying it's correct to deal with it. I'm not saying it's correct not to deal with it.
Right.
But little things like that can make a big difference in a relationship.
It can.
Right.
It can.
I need to know that, I'll give you a perfect case in point. I had a friend who I was dating and, you know, Bill Cosby probably did some things that weren't right.
Right.
But I was not in a position. I'm never going to jump on that soapbox and down Bill Cosby because I know all the other things that Bill Cosby has done.
Right.
For my people. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's a saint. And I don't want to hear, I'm going to have an issue if you're on the other side of that table.
So if the person is like, he did it.
And you want to hold them up and beat them because other groups don't do that. Other groups will still support their people.
Correct.
Even under much worse circumstances than this.
Yes.
So I need to know that you're going to, you know, have your fist in the air with me at times. Not on everything.
So you need to ride or die.
That could be
what you're saying.
I need to ride or die.
Nah,
that could be a deal breaker.
Where we riding to, why I got to die?
Huh?
Where we riding to and why do I have to die? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's sometimes you gotta be there. Sometimes, you know, it's snowing outside, but we still gotta go.
Okay.
That's ride or die. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know we shouldn't be out here in this car, but we gotta go.
I mean, as long
as
you
to go
have
with me.
New tires, insurance, and the car belongs to you and is registered legally, I'm good. I get in the car.
Good.
I get in the car.
Yeah.
Okay, so what advice would you give to someone who's recently divorced in terms of they're recently divorced, they're scared to get out there in the dating world? What would you tell them?
Get out. First of all, get out there and talk to as many people as you can because it is very awkward in the beginning when you go back out there when you haven't been on your game for 10 years.
Right.
You know, you haven't been on your game for 10 years.
The game done changed.
The game done changed. The conversations done changed.
Right.
You know, what you're saying sounds all crazy and old or corny or whatever it is. But get out there and just start talking to people and getting a feel for what you're really looking for.
Okay.
What are you looking for? Looking for a friend? Looking for, you know, a hot mama who's just all about the bang bang?
Right.
You know, find out what you're looking for. Because at first, you don't even know what you're looking for.
That's what I was going to say. You have to redefine yourself.
You have to redefine yourself.
You have to realize what are you like today? And what is it that you need today?
What is it that you need? I'm still old school. So, you know, girl, I need girl in the kitchen. although I can cook myself, I still like to see girl in the kitchen sometime. It turns me on, tell you the truth.
A woman in the kitchen?
Oh, my God.
So you go home, she in the kitchen?
Oh.
No, like right now, like you're going to go home today and she in the kitchen.
Who? Her?
Yeah.
She could be in there butt naked. It wouldn't matter to me. Okay.
No, Oops.
No, that's done. Done. Complete. Finished. Totally. In. Nothing. Nothing they could do. Last woman on earth. Sorry.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. That goat looked pretty good over there.
Damn.
Don't make no curry goat with that one because I got plans for that one.
All right. So moral of the story is if you are recently divorced, get out there, date, meet people,
right?
Learn about yourself
and where you are now, because you could be carrying baggage from that old relationship as
correct.
Well
and you don't want to bring that baggage into a right. new relationship.
Find your place.
Yes.
And then find your mate.
All right, well, thanks Tommy for coming by. I like this.
I hope I was able to help.
I think you gave a lot of good advice.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people may be able to relate to your situation.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. The takeaway for this episode is, how would you view dating after being divorced? Is it easy? Is it hard? Let me know.